Lowe's knows how to help make your home holiday ready for less. Get Select Style Selections vinyl flooring for just $1.99 per square foot and have it installed before the festivities begin. Our team can help you every step of the way. See a Lowe's Red Vest associate or visit lowes.com/holiday install to get started. Lowe's, we help, you save. Basic install only. Date restrictions apply. Subject to availability. Install by independent contractor. See associate for details. Contiguous U.S. only. Lowe's knows how to get you ready for holiday hosting with up to 35% off select home decor. And get up to 35% off select major appliances. Plus, members get free delivery, haulaway, basic installation, parts, and a 2-year Lowe's protection plan when you spend $2,500 or more on select LG major appliances. Valid through 10-1. Member offer excludes Massachusetts, Maryland, Wisconsin, New Jersey, and Florida. Installed by independent contractors. Exclusions apply. See Lowe's.com for more details.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Hello and welcome to this breaking news edition of What Most People Think. And oh my God, news. So much news. I hope it just in some ways this podcast just helps you keep up because it just keeps coming, doesn't it? We had the end of the royal visit, and I'm going to ask a question that's very difficult for me to ask on this show. But did Keir Starmer have a win? Has he finally got a fucking result? We're going to ask whether or not it was a success. We'll also ask, did Keir Starmer have a win with this big tech prosperity deal? What is it called? It's called the UK-US Tech Prosperity Agreement. So what would be the UKUSPAR, the old UKUSPAR. Has he had a touch with the UKUSPAR? And in the annual piss up in the Political Brewery Awards, Jeremy Corbyn's new party with Zara Sultana had an absolute shocker yesterday. So we will we'll catch up with that and probably have a little bit of fun. But I've got some news as well. Talking about the news is I've got 12 new dates on sale. So listen up, I'm going to tell you them now. You've got to go to Live Nation. They're on sale now. And there's an extra date to start off with in London on the 29th of November. That's a third date in London. Get involved. Maidenhead, a second Maidenhead date on the 28th of February. Redruth, people are saying, why don't you come down here? Well, I am coming down there. 10th of March. Chorley, why haven't you got any dates in Northwest? I fucking have. I've got now Southport and I've got Salford. And now I've got Chorley. So that's the 18th of March. Folkestone. I don't know how they talk. 21st of March, Solihull. We're going back to Solihull. Apparently that is the Core Theatre now open. I fucking hope so because we've got a date there, 25th of March. Coventry. We're going to Coventry on the 26th of March. Portsmouth. We're going to Portsmouth. Take my life in my hands. Going to Portsmouth, one of the surprisingly roughest bit of the countries. We're going to the Wedgwood Rooms on the 31st of March. Then the very next night, going to Winchester on the 1st of April. Ilkley on the 4th of April. Lancaster, another date in the Northwest, for God's sake, on the 16th of April. And then I do have a Norwich date, but that is not on sale yet. Because, yeah, you know Norwich, they just got to be a bit different. But all those dates, okay, a lot of people have been on at me through the Patreon and everything to have dates in those places where they're on sale now, so please go and buy some tickets. New patrons. By the way, cheers. I just want to say thanks. I mentioned the fact that I'm taking on all the production costs for this podcast, and there has been an uptick in patrons, so I appreciate that. There's one patron who should have had a shout out for quite a while, but hasn't. So Dave Martin, he got in touch with me. Dave Martin. Dave Martin just sounds like your dad's mate, doesn't he? Dave Martin, who just sits down the local, steady drinker. Steady drinker, Dave Martin. You never see Dave piss. You will never see Dave piss in you. There was that one time. But you never see Dave piss. He's always in the process of rolling a cigarette, isn't he? Just always. And when, you know those guys, when they do roll-up, how much joy they take in the ritual of it. Can I just say one weird thing about roll-ups, right? I've never really liked them. This is a very old-fashioned thing. I just, when women smoke them, I don't know what it is. And maybe it takes me back to when, back when I was a kid, my mum would always smoke them when we didn't have any money. So maybe it's not just sexism. But you know, like when you get to a station and people walk out and they've got like the tiny little filter tip in there already. They love smoking so much. They've got the tiny little filter in their mouth and they're rolling as they come off the train. I'm thinking, Jesus Christ, maybe smoking is amazing because people are so keen to smoke. They just like, I've got to have even started the process. But the problem is that tiny little filter just looks like a bizarre tiny little cigarette. So I don't know if they know how fucking weird they look. We've also got Stu. I think Stu is a returning patron, but we always presume if they don't give a surname that they work in some sort of woke institution. So I'm trying to think what would be the woke institution for Stu. I reckon Stu just works at a really progressive primary school. Because you know with primary schools, it's kind of funny how if the head teacher's like that, then it's kind of like a small fiefdom, isn't it? And everyone has to, like, I don't know, a name would just be something like Judy Bickerstaff. And everyone goes, oh my God, Judy is furious. Apparently somebody took pronouns off their emails. Oh my God, Judy, you know what Judy's like on Mondays. So thoughts and prayers to Stu. Then we've got Jason Ralph. Oh, Jason Ralph. I think Jason Ralph sounds like one of those guys that was from, you know, the kind of like gross out comedies of the early noughties. Jason Ralph, one of those wacky guys. He was in like Not Another Teen Movie or American Pie, but like American Pie 3. You know, that's why they introduced a new character that had a drug problem. But he had a drug problem in a funny way. But anyway, listen, if you are supporting this podcast via Patreon, I appreciate it. And of course, you, this week alone, you would have had an early access to pre-sale for the new date. So the benefits keep coming.
What most people think.
Okay, thank you. Just a quick thank you to the people. So it's the first night of the new tour last night in Tring, and the audience were unbelievable. I was stressed. You know, I was confident in the show, but you still got to say it. It's got to come out in the right order. And you've got to... One thing that happens when you're doing a new show, it's quite easily done, is that you just jump over a big bit and you don't realise you've done it. So you just go from one subject, you miss out like a 7-minute bit. And then you come up and you think, right, we'll call the interval now. And you look down and it's only 23 minutes. You go, fuck. I've clearly forgotten something. But you've got to carry on talking while you're trying to remember what you forgot. But it just seemed to all work last. I don't know what it is in Tring. I don't know, you know. But they seemed in a good mood. So thank you very much for coming to that show. And as I pointed out to them, I think I've said on this podcast, Tring just sounds like a way of describing like a well-fit woman. Hey, she is well Tring. The fuck you. So Jimmy Kimmel's show got taken off air in the States. He's a chat show host in the States. And a few people, a lot of the lefties, particularly on a site like Threads, have been saying, oh, I notice you've got nothing to say about that. It's so funny, isn't it, with social media online, where people always say, well, I notice you haven't spoke about that. Sometimes we can't all speak about everything is one thing. And you always think, oh, well, let me look at your... Well, I've noticed you haven't commented on every fucking news story ever. And I'm just sort of cool, you know, with the Charlie Kirk thing and the Jimmy Kimmel thing, these are US stories. But there are sometimes between our two great nations when their news becomes our news because we are in that cultural slipstream. And his chat show got taken off air after a monologue, which broadly speaking mocked the way that the Republicans and Trump was grieving for Charlie Kirk, which immediately got calls of a hypocrisy from people on, not just people on the left, in fact, people on the right too, saying that it was kind of cancel culture in reverse. And there was a slight, you know, from some people on the left, it was slightly rich people who not long ago, like, in fact, say, for example, before Twitter was owned by Elon Musk and it suspended Donald Trump, they were all saying, well, they're a private company. They can do what they want. It's consequences. It's not cancel culture. But, you know, everyone switches around. The left suddenly are anti-cancel culture. Some people on the right are pro it, and there's just fucking hypocrisy everywhere. But anyway, the first point is, it's pretty simple for me as a comic. I don't ever want to see any comedy show cancelled, right? I'm in this industry. This is my union. You know, I don't want to see people not having work. And I certainly don't want to see them not have work for the things that they've said. You know, if they've done really bad stuff, yeah, but not for the stuff that they've said. Now, the monologue itself is short, the thing that got him in trouble, but quite a lot happens. And I think that perhaps the most important thing that happens in it is at the start. It does have jokes later on, but at the start, he says something which is undeniably incendiary.
We hit some new lows over the weekend with the MAGA gang desperately trying to characterize this kid who murdered Charlie Kirk as anything other than one of them and doing everything they can to score political points from it.
So it's fair to say that from that, he goes on and he makes a lot of things which are undeniably jokes. And there's some good jokes in there. You might not like the tone of it. You might think in such a febrile time in the national debate, maybe it's judicious to hold back a little bit. But they're proper jokes. You know, there's one that says he talks about how Donald Trump is grieving Charlie Kirk. And he says it's how a 4-year-old mourns a goldfish. Now, you know, that is quite clearly a joke, you know, and it also shows an interview with Trump where he's asked about Charlie Kirk and he immediately starts talking about construction, right? So I think, you know, the thing is, that's what comedy should be. It should be fearless. It's difficult. You know, when you're talking about a gut-wrenching murder that was seen by millions of people and has caused a lot of conflict, but comedy should always dare to tread stuff. And if it gets it wrong, the worst that you've done is you've got a joke wrong. I do think there's a problem with what he says at the beginning, to be fair, because it's not a joke, is it? It's not a joke. It's a point. And the point is, the point was wrong. That's the problem. He talks about the MAGA gang. So that's quite a big cohort of people. And he says that they're doing anything other than claiming him as one of their own. Now, unless you're a conspiracy theorist and you think that the FBI have forged communications between the suspect and his partner, then you know, that's just wrong. And that's helping foment quite a dangerous sort of anti-truth narrative. Look, I won't lie, when they read out the text between Tyler Robinson and his partner, I did think they sounded a little odd, but equally, maybe someone that shoots people for their opinions might be a fucking odd person who communicates in an odd way. So I think that is, you know, that is not, I think, a reason to completely take someone off air. I suppose what we don't know is whether or not they were told, don't say that, right? It's a really interesting point in the monologue because there's sort of like a joke before it, and then he says that, and then there's loads of jokes afterwards. It sort of felt like something that Jimmy Kimmel just kind of wanted to say. But I think, look, if you're going to go out to bat for something that contentious, one, there needs to be a joke, and two, it needs to be correct, right? In this case, it seems like it wasn't. And the other thing is, you know, a lot of people are saying with late night stuff in the States, it's expensive. They are looking for reasons to cancel shows. You know, in the same way that when you get a high profile mainstream TV star here, that just at the point where their ratings start to slide and they're a bit too expensive, suddenly something comes out from the past. I'm not saying those things aren't real, but it's often really interesting how the broadcasters just remember. Oh, sorry, I've just remembered. I've got this about that time he patted somebody in the arse. Oh, sorry, it slipped my mind. So there's definitely an argument that they're looking for ways to drop some of these late night shows. And I would say this as well, on the other side of things, it's like Trump's reaction to some of this is a legitimate target for satire. Do you know what I mean? Like the speed with which he fucking makes things about so transparently about himself. You know, you look at like how Barack Obama, at that kind of time, I reckon you want a president to just basically say, it's going to be okay. and Donald Trump is not that guy on any level. So, you know, I personally think he's a legitimate, of course he is, he's a president, he's a legitimate target for satire. I don't ever want to see comedians cancelled, but I've got to say, you know, when you are like the host of something, you definitely, if you're dealing in statements of fact, you want to make sure that you're correct and you want to make sure it's fucking funny. Okay, so just in case anybody takes that out of context, no, I do not think Jimmy Kimmel's show should have been taken off air for that. We can all make mistakes. Let's not be hypocrites around cancel culture. All right, sticking with Donald Trump, let's talk about his visit to the UK. Let's ask ourselves a very difficult question. Did Keir Starmer, I can't even say it, did Keir Starmer finally have a win?
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Hey, wake up! New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
No, I think it's quite simple to answer that question. I think, yeah, I think he did. It's a weird thing where I do think that Donald Trump seems to genuinely like Keir Starmer. And it's hard to quantify or understand in what way that sort of works and operates. You know, like when there's like a couple where like the guy is like 7'4" and the woman's like 4 foot. And it's, you know, it's only reasonable to wonder how certain things operate. It's a little bit, like Trump and Starmer's friendship. I mean, it's also like, you know, at school where the bully would always have one really eccentric friend, like one person you think, well, usually on paper, you should be bullying that guy. What's going on here? What have they got on you? Maybe it's because Trump knows that he could crush him. And Keir Starmer maybe openly acknowledges that. Donald, I know you could crush me. I want you to think of me as like having a pet. And, you know, it just worked well. I think the trip worked well. I think it was a smart move to move it to Windsor. Just as I said, you know, you can't get there on your Oyster card and it's got hills. So there weren't as many people there. They moved it to Windsor. And Donald Trump seemed, he seemed quite honoured that it was in Windsor because clearly someone told him it was better. You know, a lot of people said, a lot of people are always saying something to Donald Trump. Have you ever noticed that? That it's Windsor's better. I mean, like only Donald Trump could just say the thing you're not supposed to, which is that one's better, clearly. And it, look, Windsor Castle is definitely a more royal castle. And God, by the way, did anyone know if it was an unprecedented second trip? Because I wasn't aware. Because I think Donald Trump only said it about 58,000 times. I mean, the man's desire, or the man's willingness to give himself credit, in some ways should be an inspiration to us all. He would just, out of nowhere, give himself a gigantic pat on the fucking back. I think we should all do that. You go, Ladderby, yeah, I'm the first guy to do this. It's just, I wish I had that. I mean, you know, look, I do have that on some levels. Like, you know, let's be honest. I mean, I did do a routine about wanting medals for taking the bins out. So maybe I've got a little bit of Trump in me. Not that. But anyway, move on.
What must people think?
There was a point watching the coverage where Donald gave his little speech at the table. You know, he stands up. He just reads it off a pad, which is a bit odd. It's a bit low tech. But he reads it off a pad and you could see that he loves the pomp, you know, loves the pomp. There's no end to his love or affection for things that are gold-plated. Can't get enough of gold-plated stuff. And he does one of those Donald speeches where he's kind of, it's like he's just discovered the UK. He just did build a beautiful country, beautiful. And just starts at one point just naming fucking authors, which was kind of hilarious. Just naming like Shakespeare, Dickens, T.S. Eliot, you know, just okay, a lot of good writers there. If you're being a bit cynical, you might wonder if he's ever read anything by any of them. But this was like a live feed I was watching on Sky News. And then he kind of like finished and he sat down. And then they started to serve the food. And I don't know if it was supposed to happen, but the live feed stayed with it. And then the commentators started commenting on what was going to happen next. Again, I think now the starters will be a pea jus with a watercress paste and foam. And I thought, fucking hell, am I about to sit here and watch like 80 people eat their dinner? And I thought, I think I am. I would have taken 2 more hours of that. I would have absolutely taken 2 more hours of Donald Trump trying to look humble and King Charles trying to not to look pissed off. I mean, it was great television. But that wasn't the moment of peril, really. Everyone knew that Donald Trump kind of likes being fated. He likes banquets. I mean, in his mind, I don't know. I guess he thought like it was something out of Game of Thrones or maybe King Ralph. Do you remember that film with John Goodman in? Underrated. But anyway, so the real moment of peril is the following day at the press conference because literally anything can happen. I mean, we've literally the world sat there and watched the bust up at the Oval Office. We've seen Donald Trump pull people's pants down, you know, many times. So we just, but there's clearly a rapport here because there's this big tension between them is that it's imminent that Starmer is going to have the UK government recognised the Palestinian state, Palestine as a state, right? And you're kind of looking at Donald. I mean, at that point, you know, no one's even looking at Keir Starmer. They're just looking at Donald going, what the fuck is he going to say? And he just sort of allowed it. it was kind of like the thing that you never expect Trump to do, is to just say, okay, you say potato, I say potato. You know, it just, that's the last thing anybody expects from Donald Trump. Hey, let bygones be bygones. He's not that kind of guy. Now, aside from whether or not, you know, I think a lot of people understand Starmer wants to put a bit of pressure on Israel, but equally, Starmer had to caveat it. He had to caveat it by saying that, you know, but let's be clear, Hamas can play no part in this new state. You go, well, okay, well, this is just performative then, because Hamas are going to evidently fucking want to be some part of this new state. But the point is that Donald Trump allowed it, right? And, you know, there was a lot of touching between the two men. They were talking about the trade deal between the countries that seems still largely sort of synthetic and performative. But, you know, he said this thing again about, you know, maybe he's a great negotiator. This guy, great negotiator, maybe got a better deal than we did. The moment someone says that, you know, you got a bit fucked, right? It's like an estate agent going, Jesus, you pushed me hard on that one. And there was another moment of tension right at the end where Beth Rigby brings up Mandelson. And Donald, do you remember that period just before Zelensky went to the Oval Office when Starmer was out there with this letter from the king? And one of the British press pack confronted Trump with what he'd said about Zelensky being a dictator. And Trump just, in a moment of evil genius, basic genius, the kind of disruptor type shit that only he would think to do, he just went, did I say that? I can't believe I said that. What? Like, the press were like, I don't, does not compute. Like, how do you fight back? I just didn't say it. Oh, I don't remember saying it. So he's asked about Mandelson, Epstein, all that kind of stuff. And he just goes, Peter who? Literally, more or less, goes, Peter Mandy, Mandy what? What's that? I don't know. What, Peter Mandelson? Yeah. Do you remember the guy that you said was really handsome and said she could have been prime minister with that voice? And you kept touching him. Do you remember? Nah, oh, right. Okay. Did I do that? I don't remember doing that. We should all be a bit more Donald Trump. If you're ever in trouble with the missus, lads, you know, just give it a bit of the old, did I remember? I can't believe I did that. God, did I? Well, Jesus Christ. So, you know, I would say this time. I do think the pressure of putting that together, not having like some sort of rolling panic attack throughout the whole thing and pulling it off. I'll say it, you know, I don't think that there were many people that could have done that. Now, you might not like some of the outcomes, but just to pull it off as a piece of statecraft, I think, you know, not just Starmer, but everyone involved, it was quite a feat. And as part of that was the trade deal, the UK-US tech progress, the UKSTPRO. And it's quite a big deal, this. It does seem quite a big deal. A lot of money. The problem is when you start thinking like Trump, you end up talking like him, but there's a lot of money coming into UK. A lot of it's to do with AI and tech. You know, all your big companies are there, all your Googles, your Metas, no Teslas. Wonder what that would be. And, you know, and let's talk about the amount of jobs it would create, which is nice. I'd love to believe that was true, but, you know, the numbers on payrolls are still falling. But, you know, I guess replacing some jobs that are falling is better than fucking nothing. And the head guy, there was an interview on the BBC with the head guy, the owner of one of these, I think the company's called Blackstock, I don't know. Anyway, he had some kind of like tech billionaire name. You know, the kind of name. I didn't even see the guy's face, but I knew without having to see him that he probably had some weird plasticky looking face and just looked a bit weird. You know what I mean? Kind of guy that would only have business meetings in fucking hot air balloons or something, you know, just a weirdo. But he was saying that we should be, you know, more proud of ourselves in the UK for the tech sector that we've got here. He said that we are going to be, partly because of this deal, the third AI superpower. The third AI superpower. Now, I don't know what this means. I don't know what this means. Maybe we're just going to be, that means that we'll be the third country to be controlled by robots. I don't know. I don't know what we're giving away to do it. But you look, being a superpower is something. You know, it's been a while, hasn't it, Britain? And I think, you know, whoever was involved with this, whether Labour, Tory or whatever, Treasury, you know, civil service, pat on the back, you know, Little Rishi, I would say, let's hear it for Little Rishi. Little Rishi.
Most people think.
Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. at participating U.S. Wendy's.
So those in the know seem to think it's going to be a good thing, but I just think when it comes to AI, I don't want to be like, what is it, Cassandra? But it wasn't Cassandra right in the end. Anyway, Cassandra, Pandora. It's funny, isn't it? Like in mythology, it's always women that are causing shitstorms, isn't it? Eve, fucking women, eh? Predicting doom, opening boxes, eating apples. I just think there's going to be a jobs bloodbath. I do. I cannot see how there won't be. Even if it might be temporary and things might recalibrate, I think there's going to be a lot of jobs lost to AI. I think you're going to, because a lot of the knowledge economy is going to be affected. I think you're going to see loads of middle class people in unions. They're going to become the new kind of, like the people who've got trades and stuff. They'll be like the new upper class. You know, there'll be just plumbers driving around in Bentleys and lawyers just on picket lines. There'll be plumbers like honking their horns for the lawyers. It's going to be so weird. And I think it will be a part of the debate at the next election. I do. You know, people be talking about, you know, minimum numbers of human employment. I do think this is going to be a thing. I do. I think that there'll be like, you know, like when you get labels on food to have Made in Britain, I think that there'll be labels like just of a human with a thumbs up going, there were some humans involved in the creation of these baked beans. And, you know, it is, you know, I don't want to trigger the Remainers because, you know, that argument's been dormant for a while. But if you think this thing is a good thing, then it is a Brexit benefit because we do have a different regulatory framework to the rest of the EU. So like I say, what that gives us, I don't know, maybe cut to 100 years forward and it will be like those sci-fi films. Because the main thing that all these data centers need is to be kept cool. It's to be kept cool. So I just can see humans just, you know, like on those kind of old Nordic longboats, you know, but we will be like that on a giant wheel, just working a fan to keep the data centers going. But look, at least we're third best in the world at something. We're good at athletics and we're good at fucking data. All right, just a quick hype for next week's shows. The tour really gets going next week. On Wednesday, I'm Bristol Saturday, that's sold out. Bath this Sunday, there are tickets for it. And then next week, Wednesday, Stevenage. So it's on a Wednesday. I think we've got 400 in. I think there's space for about 50 more. So do get involved. Stevenage, Thursday next week. Wednesday. London is on Thursday. That was sold out, but I think they've released a handful of holds for that date. So have a look if you fancy it. Then on Saturday, back to Southend. I'll go and have a massive... unlike Jacob Hawley, I know where to find the fish and chips there. But I think we're down to just upper circle tickets there. And then on Sunday, I'll be in Worthing. And we've just got a couple more new patrons as well to shout out. We've got... Jonathan Bolton, just special advisor, Jonathan Bolton, one of the old school, do you know what I mean? One of those civil service for life. Joined them as a boy, Jonathan Bolton. No O-levels, Jonathan Bolton. Rose to the senior. Never felt fully confident among the gentry. Jonathan Bolton, welcome to the Patreon. And Josephine Diamond, Jesus Christ, that your OnlyFans name? Fucking hell, Joe Diamond. Joe Diamond might have been like, you know, like the heyday of Page Three, Joe Diamond on a Thursday, and we would have had Joe Diamond's views on world politics. I do think, you know, when it comes to politics, anyone noticed that things started getting more hostile since they took Page Three away? Do you know, when we used to have like Page Three girls just giving a nuanced take on the news, we were all a bit happier then. I'm just throwing it out there. It's just a theory. Just mopping up some other news this week. Reform had another Tory defector, didn't they? Danny Kruger went over. And immediately Nigel Farage is in pure hypocrisy mode. Because do you remember like when there was all those Labour defectors, Tory defectors to Labour? Nigel's like, well, we need a by-election, it's undemocratic. And then suddenly there's this like slow fucking exodus from one side over to Reform. And he's a little bit quiet about that. A little bit quiet, old Nigel. But, you know, it is a coup for Reform, I think, because... Danny Kruger was like a respected thinker among conservatives, you know. He's a weird one because he's kind of compassionate and progressive on one level, but also, you know, kind of very big C conservative on, small C conservative on like gay marriage and stuff like that. So that was a bit of a blow for the Tories. You know, Kemi had her best week, you know, she had the scalp of Mandelson, but I guess it won't mean much if you're just kind of like, you know, literally just hemorrhaging fucking MPs to Reform. But I think the interesting news yesterday politically was in your party. So just to bring up today, they are, well, it's all really unclear, but that Jeremy Corbyn and Zara Sultana were heading up a new party on the left, right? And there was already a balls up at the launch because Zara jumped the gun and then got told off slightly publicly by Jeremy Corbyn. I mean, Jeremy Corbyn, I bet he's the most irritating guy to be told off in the world. You'd rather get the hairdryer treatment off somebody. Imagine if that was your old man, just, you know, that kind of snippy little, no, I don't actually think you should have said that. Just that slightly passive aggressive manner that he had. And he told her off in public. And there's confusion as to why it's taking so long, because if you'd have fought, like particularly the last 2 weeks, if there was a formal challenger on the left, you could start, you know, breaking off a little piece of that support for yourself. But they just couldn't really seem to seize the moment. I mean, all the branding says your party, but they wouldn't even confirm that was the name, right? And then yesterday, it all kicks off. Zara Sultana, she does a membership push online. And fair play, you know, £55 for the membership. That is, I mean, you could go to David Lloyd for that, couldn't you? It'd be a lot more fun. They do a membership push and they get, I don't know how many members, but 20,000 members. I think it equates to 1 million in a morning, you know? That should be a great moment. 1 million in a morning. Think what else we could do, right? But it hits the rocks very quickly, as things often do on the hard left, because it turns out this wasn't sanctioned by the grand poobahs of your party, not your party. And she gets a telling off from old magic grandpa, Jeremy Corbyn. And then she responds, Zara Sultana, by saying that it's a sexist boys club already. And you think, wow, this might already be. I mean, they haven't even formally, I think, agreed the fucking name, and it might have already fallen down. You've got £1 million worth of funding in a morning and later that day. I mean, it just couldn't be any more People's Front of Judea if they tried. To the point where you're kind of thinking that they should be paying John Cleese royalties. There's a point where your party might not be a political party, but they might get sued by the cast of Monty Python because it's a direct ripoff. I mean, also I was thinking, so what might happen is it, so it's yours in Y-O-U-R, but what if there's then like a rival party with Y-O apostrophe R-E? Because then that would piss off the hard left, but also the grammar pedants or punctuation pedants. I'm sure those pedants would now get pissed off with me. I mean, it is just, it's quite, you know, it's in a period of quite heavy news, it is quite fun just to see people just making an absolute fucking arse of something. So I just want to say, you know, who knows? This is all great news for who? Well, it's great news for Zach Polanski, the leader of the Green Party, because they're kind of a mobile operation at this point. The other thing I would say as well, on the hard left, this is the problem, right? Is how are you going to square that circle? You know, Jeremy Corbyn gets a lot of support from within the Muslim community, and within that, there'll be very conservative Muslims that will be, you know, maybe that's part of the problem where Zara Sultana is having within the party's leadership structure. It seemed that she alluded to that, but she wasn't specific. And then the other thing is how are those people going to feel about Zara Sultana's, you know, views on like progressive stuff and gender and stuff? You know, how are you going to fucking square this circle? So, you know, the challenger on the left may have spawned its own challenger on the left. And, you know, the words of Nigel Farage, you couldn't make it up. Okay, that is the breaking news episode. Just to say, I've got a few reviews. Remember, so just a reminder, if you're listening to this podcast, whatever platform you're listening to it on, just press follow, subscribe, all that kind of stuff. Give it a 5-star review if you can. On the ones on iTunes, you can listen to, you can write written reviews, and there's a few 5-stars, and I always read out the 5-stars. So very grateful for those. This one is from Sue Smith. Well-balanced podcast with some interesting guests and always funny, but please change the intro theme tune, Jeff. No, I can't. You can't, apparently, a podcast, people are very used to it. It's the rhythm. You can't scare the horses. I'm sorry. This is from Merrily Girl. She says, pure genius. Great podcast. About time we get political comedy from the right. Well done, Jeff. This is from P. Salarco. P. Salarco, not John, related to John Salarco, the former Crystal Palace forward. I would describe myself as leaning more towards the left wing of politics. However, like Jeff, I try to listen to podcast views from across the political spectrum. Whilst I don't always agree with Jeff's views, I always respect the thoughtful argument he makes. He has certainly made me think about issues from a different perspective. A must-listen podcast. Wow. Changing the way people think. I might start my party. Are they their party? No, that would sound very different. Wayno. It's from Wayno. Just Wayno, classic Wayno. Interesting, balanced, funny. Thank you. And this is from Sam. This is so nice, guys. So nice. By the way, people, I know people are deliberately spelling my name with a J just to piss me off. I'm not going to buy it. Cracking podcast as per, very balanced. And ironically, I agree with a lot of what he says. So listen, thank you for the reviews. I will be back next week. I've got a very special guest next week, so look out for that one. But listen, hopefully the news calms down a little bit and we can all think about sillier things. Have a great weekend.